So good morning, you brood of vipers. Now I know what you're thinking. Father Michael has gone off his meds. It's time to get him home to a rest. You have to kind of like take it in how the Baptist, how John the Baptist might have been coming across to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees. These are otherwise people who were felt themselves to be, you know, right thinking, faithful to the traditions and the ancestors, knowing right for wrong, and trying to put that into practice. People for whom their faith meant a lot. And here's John giving that same greeting that I just repeated. You brood of vipers. One can imagine John as a little boy getting home from Hebrew school with a note for his mom and dad. John is a promising young man, but he has to work on his social skills. John shows up in a coat of camel's hair, rough to the skin, very punishing. Not any kind of dress that would be reminiscent of a civilized world. He's got a rope around his waist, leather cord, again from a wild animal. His food, grasshoppers, insects. And you might think, well, oh my goodness, if somebody like that ever showed up in downtown Waterbury, well, it wouldn't be a camel there. Let's say he lived up at Matatuck Forest up here in the north end of town. Maybe it'd be bearskin. And showing up with a leather cord around his waist and proclaiming, "Repent, you sinners, you brood of vipers," and kept shouting that out in the center of our town. What do you suppose would happen? Well, first, probably a few police officers would show up. Then they'd call one of the hospitals to send a wagon over to pick this guy up and take him up for a psychiatric evaluation. And very striking, very unusual, and meant to be, because the only way John could have survived in his circumstances was all of his needs were very few and very basic, and they were all attended to by God. He didn't need a lot, but his heart was filled, and his voice was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what are we to do with this? How can we take it in? What he's saying to the people of his times, listen, the Lord himself is coming near, so get ready. And all the stuff that we're hanging on to that fills us up, let it go. Let it go. And most especially to those who think that they are faithful. Most of all, to they that think of themselves as righteous. One of my mentors in my clinical training, said, listen to this. If you forget everything else I tell you over the next year, remember this. All human behavior is organized to resist change. I'll say that again. All human behavior is organized to resist change. Thinking is a form of behavior. Because it takes place between our ears, we don't see it, but it's a behavior. And so, all of these patterns of self-defeating behavior, of taking as much of the gospel as, whose basic message is love, by the way. We take of the gospel a piece that we can live, we can accommodate to, and becomes for us the fullness of the gospel. It's only a piece. But we like that. It makes us feel righteous. What I know about God could fit on the head of a pin. And I've studied for years, and I belong to a church that prides itself on a tradition of great depth. What I know about God could fit on the head of a pin. Faith, as rich and traditional as it is, it's not all of it. It's not all of it. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. I think Paul says it later on. Three things, at the end, three things will last. Faith, very important. Hope, huge. And what? Charity or love. And the greatest of these is faith that can't quite get to love doesn't bear fruit. Doesn't bear fruit. Take-home message for us as individuals and as a church is that while we've got great faith, it's rare that a Sunday should come around and we're not here. But the church has opted and takes great pride in its faith. So do we as individuals. The church likes to consider itself to be prophetic and a hope for the world. The church's challenge that's in front of us, and this is why the Baptist voice comes across so strong. Faith that can't quite get to loving is not going to do it. The people who show up on Wednesday nights recognize, oh, that's when we have our Bible study, by the way. It's 6. Everybody's welcome. It's potluck. Bring some stuff to share. But this first reading, it comes from a vision of the world like God intended it in Eden. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion, the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Everybody's safe. In the world that God had in mind, that He created, everyone's safe. Everyone's fed, because in that beautiful world, even the predators ate from the grasses of the ground. Everybody was vegetarian. There was no reason for blood to be shed in the world. And people, they dwelled as little children, not as a threat to each other. It was a world in which people were together. We didn't have artificial divisions, and there was no reason to hate anyone, and there was no reason to kill anyone. How do we get to this world from that? I'd like to suggest, it's the same way, I guess, in our individual lives, that day by day we make little compromises with what is ideal, and we kind of back off. Compromise by compromise to try to get to a world that accommodates us. Compromise by compromise by compromise. Since the beginning of time, it seems to have been our fate. And then by each compromise and each backing away from the real challenge to love and to bring about unity and peace, we've backed off so we're so justified in our hatreds, so entrenched in our divisions, that we've created ourselves a different sort of world. The kind of world that nobody's safe in. It abounds in faith and worship. It abounds in faith and worship. But love is hard to get to. And John the Baptist is saying, stop it. Stop it. Turn it around. All these hatreds and all these divisions that you're so entrenched with and feel so entitled to, stop it. Stop it. Pretty striking message. But it's this way of saying, get ready for God, drop everything else, open up your arms to embrace the God who comes, but first embrace one another and create a world in which is symbolized more by embracing. There's more embracing reality and less of this. I think we have to open our hands and our hearts and drop everything else and get ready to embrace one another and embrace the God who comes at Christmas. Amen.